Blog Talk Radio.
Unfortunately, Laurent's still not back with us yet. He's still not feeling well. And we're not sure when he'll be returning, but as soon as he does, we'll let you know. In the meantime, hello, Rex, and thank you for joining me.
How you doing?
I'm doing everybody. No, I'm doing all right. Yes. How you doing? I'm doing everybody. Absolutely. So, how are you this fine Friday?
Just fine. Waiting for the weather to go warm permanently. Let off the cold steam and let it wither away and die for a while.
Amen. Amen. It's been like kind of one day's great here. The next day is kind of like, and the next day is like not so much. And, you know, back up to really good. And like today was like 58 degrees. Yesterday was like in the 40s, 30s and 40s. Whatever. So listen, just so you know, we have Pam with us. And hello, Pam. It's good to have you here.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Rex. Good to be here.
Hey.
How goes it?
Well, not too bad. We had, you know, big fat snowflakes falling down. Apparently somebody forgot to tell Mother Nature that spring has started. So.
Well, you know, you're only a week a year. I don't know what the hell makes you think you could have it today. Just saying. You know.
One can only hope that out of, like, thousands of years of it being the same in Wisconsin, that it eventually would change. I mean, I'd like to benefit from some of this, you know, warmer stuff going on, you know.
Amen. Amen. I bet you would, hon. Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. Here I go yawning again. Telling you, that's all I do is sleep. And
you know that's transferable. You're going to start yawning, then me and Rex will start yawning, and pretty soon the whole show will be nothing but three of us yawning.
Absolutely. Yes. So we have a nice looking board tonight. We have some carryovers from Naomi's show on Tuesday. We have some carryovers from my show last Friday. And then we have just wonderful little random offerings. So I like it. I like it. It's a lot of fun that way. So, I think we'll have a good night. Plenty of poetry to be had. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get started so that way we don't run behind like I tend to sometimes. Because I'm always running off at the mouth. But I'm going to put up the first piece, and then I have to go and answer the phone. So let me put up. No, I don't know. I guess I'll go in order. I don't know. I don't have any, like, specific one way or another thing. So let me put this one up by Martha Gittle. And I'll hit the button for that. So here we go. A Wrecking Ball by Martha Gettle. It was my ear you whispered into, but it was my heart that was listening to you. It was not my lips you kissed, you know, darling, you kissed my soul. You went deeper in my heart than it's ever been, and I won't be looking for love again. You have got me wrapped up tight in your love tonight. You took a wrecking ball to my heart. Baby, you tore it all apart. Then you made of my heart your home, and I will never ever roam, 'cause you wrote your name on my heart. And darling, I knew it from the start. The first time I looked in your eyes, baby, I swear I saw paradise. You took a wrecking ball to my heart. Baby, you tore it all apart. Then you made of my heart your home, and I will never, ever roam. My love is peeking round the corner. My heart and only yours for sure. And love meets me in the hall as my heart hears your heart's call.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Well, gee, you know, for a moment there, I just seeing the title, I thought we were going to hear a song parody of the song Wrecking Ball, but, you know, which would have been really cool, but this is cool also.
Wasn't that called The Wrecking Crew?
Right. I really liked this, especially the chorus. The chorus was particularly catchy in its tone. And you took a wrecking ball to my heart, babe, you tore it all apart. Then you made of my heart your home, and I will never, ever roam. I like the rhyme and flow of that. I like the way that it's the whole idea of starting anew, starting afresh, you know, with the whole idea of becoming a new person for this person. And like, the idea of them seeing, it's almost like, you know, like the whole metaphor of a wrecking ball tearing down a house because it needs to be built back up and then bigger and stronger and better. So I liked that. I also thought it was very playful with the idea of my love is peeking around the corner. I thought that line was just, it was fun. It was delightful. It had that whole kind of wonderful curiosity about it. So very cool, right, and very well done.
Thank you. I wanted to say that. Go ahead.
We got an extra body in the room?
Yes. I answered the phone as the song was playing, and it was Martha Gill. So, go ahead, Martha, whatever you want to say. Go ahead.
What
hey, Martha. Welcome.
Hi. I wanted
to
say that I made a mistake tonight with that song because I've had that song professionally made into a rap song, and I meant to put that one on, and I didn't get it right. So it was me instead of the male singer that actually was singing it for the new song.
There
and we're
going to
make a rap album when my fiancé gets back.
Oh,
nice.
We'll have to hear that one, too, sometime. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I'll put it on. It's really good. It's had over 6,000 plays since it was put up.
Nice.
Wow. Very nice. Well.
All right, Jean.
Okay, so
the voice is next to you.
There you go. I thought this was nicely penned piece, Martha. Nice recognition of your significant other, because I always take these pieces as your tip of the hat to him, and I like that. And I thought it was
yeah,
they
all
are.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mhm. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jean. And Martha, yeah, I think Pam brought it up. The wrecking ball representing full destruction of the old art, so the new one could actually rebuild itself up and. That's what you did with the line. What was it? You took a wrecking ball to my heart, baby, tore it all apart. Then you made a heart, my heart. You made of my heart your home, and I will never, ever roam. So in order to move forward, you got to kill off that which still lingers. And that was the essence of the chorus line that you rolled into this.
Yeah, I got gold on that. And he turned it into a song for me.
Very good. Okay. I want to welcome Naomi to the show. Hey, Naomi.
Hello,
hi, Naomi.
Naomi.
Hello.
Hi, Naomi.
How are all you guys doing?
Any better, I'd be 20.
Excellent.
So I have, that's Rex, right?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Yeah. And Martha?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So hello to you both and hello, Phil.
And Pam's in here, too.
Who, Pam?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Hi, Pam.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello.
Glad you could be here.
Good. Yes.
Good to have everyone here. Absolutely. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. As I said, I'm going to come on straight down the line instead of trying to figure out what I'm doing. Well, that could take forever. But put this next piece up. By the way, Naomi, did you hear Martha's piece? I'm sorry.
No, I just got on the phone and I just heard Rex finish commenting on it there. So And I heard her say that she won gold, and it was turned into a song. Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, it's a rap song now.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, I'll put it up next time.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next piece I'm going to put up is by Weaver of Dreams, and this is called Morning. And this is a carryover from last Friday. So here we go.
Between the streetlights there were shadows, but what was out there that could start the flight or fight stimuli of adrenaline that was causing her blood pressure to soar and the overwhelming feeling of terror she felt? She must check on her neighbors, but as she reached for the handle, someone hammered violently on the door. When she looked through the peephole, grey, slimy-looking figures milled around her house. She screamed. The sudden silence that ensued was more terrifying than the previous din. Panic-stricken, gasping for breath, she contemplated her next move. She listened intently. Was there anything still out there? What was even worse still, were they trying to get in? It was true then. The invasion had happened. That was why she had seen no one on the street for days. She shuddered with the revulsion these slug-like aliens had given rise to. Then a long-fingered hand slithered through the letterbox, captured her and held her. In despair, she screamed for help, but she knew all was lost. The feeling of decomposing flesh wrapping around her limbs was more than she could stand. There was a shrill, ringing sound. It was her alarm, heralding the morning. It had been a nightmare. The reality didn't help shake off the dark, enervating cloud of fear that hovered over her head. She would never be able to look through a peephole without first holding the letterbox closed. Unfortunately, all science fiction films are out as well. The very thought filled her with dread.
Wonderful read, Weaver. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Naomi, you were the last one in the room. What did you think?
Oh, I just love Weaver's write. She just has this way of, and her voice is so captivating. And she just has this way of just, pulling us into a right and keeping us there at the edge of our seat. And this is no exception. It's so well written. And she's just made the right in this style, you know, this like this dark, suspicious, suspension, you know, of a right there. So just a fabulous, fabulously done.
Nicely said, Naomi. There's a signpost up ahead. You just entered the Twilight Zone. Martha, how about you?
Martha dropped Rex. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Then that would come to you since you opened your mouth. Aha.
Next time I'll just leave you hanging then. See how that works?
I just moved on.
I thought this was a great piece here. You know, it, as Naomi said, she really does this darker element very well. And her voice, the way she reads, suits it as well. But clever. And Rex, yeah, your Twilight Zone thing. Yeah, I think that really suited it. Again, you know. So, I mean, what more can I say except for excellent job, you know, Weaver of Dreams. Just a really nicely written piece. And, yeah, just gets you a little bit out of your comfort zone. So I think it was great.
Oh, thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, what about you?
Well, first of all, I have to say, Jean, I almost unmuted myself and told Rex that Martha had to go. But then I thought, wait a minute, if I do that, he's going to say, well, then you're next. So I'm just going to sit
Jean,
here
you
quietly
just got buggered.
And let Jean do it.
Rex is going to be sitting all in a very quiet room next time. Because we're all just
exactly.
Going to
he's going to call on somebody who dropped, and there's going to be no response. All right. Well, I really like this. First of all, she pulled off very well a dark science fiction write and the classic twist at the end where it was a dream. But I like that she didn't end it just at the point where it's a dream, but the after effect, like that unfortunately all science fiction films were out as well. You know, so I thought that was a really great touch there. But before that, the first three stanzas, I like how she goes into that storyline of, you know, the over-curious neighbor woman. You know, that whole idea of curiosity kills the cat, and that idea that, you know, it's always the person who keeps peeking into their neighbor's windows or opening doors because they hear suspicious sounds that gets themselves sent headfirst into, you know, something bad is going on. So really a wonderful dark write and very well done.
Well said, ladies. Thank you very much. I like the illusion of the illusion that she popped into this. Peephole, the gray, slimy-looking figures milled around her house. Nice little touch. It's got that 50s vibe of grade B movies that everybody stayed up till midnight to watch because you want a little bit of fright before you go to bed. And she hits on other nice little touches. Gray, slimy, long-fingered hand slithered through the letterbox, captured and held her. And then more hands slithered in, and all of a sudden, everything's going haywire. But there's not that huge thought to all the explosions and the disappearances, the melting downs, and all that. There's the illusion of what's happening, but it plays out more psychologically within your mind by hearing certain things and seeing just enough to let the mind wander on its own. And then you get that ending bite where, oh, crap, yeah, I had another nightmare. Shouldn't have stayed up eating all them bloody cookies and watching horror movies. All right, Jane, we're coming back your way.
Oh, gosh, now I got to figure out what I'm doing again. Okay, got that one. The next one's by Poetic Picasso. Okay, so let me copy that. And here we go. I think this is Dear Jew. I assume that's how to pronounce that, but we all know how bad I can go wrong on that. Okay, so let me do that. And where did I put it? Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Never mind. We'll hang on to that for a couple of minutes. I have to double-check myself. I swear I put it up. It's probably on my desktop. Okay, the next one I'm going to do is Wayne Jett, and then we'll go back to Frank. So, here we go.
This poem is called, As I Spoke to the Rain. The rain that came has spoke to my soul, told of times that quenched my need to know. Listen as the whispers fell from trees, the gentle tap to put my mind at ease. Cool and calm, the steady voice I heard as I let the rain have the last word. The dirt and grime has now all but gone, with a rhythm much like a tender song. We talked and smiled, rain ran down my face, licked my lips, think what a clean taste. And as the rain departed, I waved at the wind, said goodbye to my wonderful friend. My tears mixed with many puddles shed, while remembering the word rain said. I'll see you later as I pass by, but for now, there's not a cloud in the sky. Yeah.
Wonderful read, Wayne. Thank you very much for the sound clap. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, you get to steal the show and kick it off.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Well, first of all, wonderful choice of background music and the read. I really just really dug how it had a jazzy vibe to it. I liked the rhyme and flow. I liked how the main idea of this is the way Rain can just, Rain and good company really make a difference in how the soul feels. I thought this was beautiful all the way through, but I especially liked that second stanza with the cool and calm, steady voice I heard as I let the rain have the last word. The dirt and grime has now all but gone with a rhythm much like a tender song. Just absolutely beautiful lines there and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, I see that he wrote to sometimes you can have a whole lifetime in a day and never notice that this is as beautiful as it gets. So I think he cleverly attacked that prompt there with, through this poem about the rain, that you don't appreciate it sometimes, especially the rain. And, sometimes even if it's a rainy day, well, that's as good as it gets, and appreciate it even if it is raining. So I thought he attacked it very cleverly, that prompt. And I love this write all the way through. Very well done, Wayne here.
Nice, Naomi. Thank you. And Gene, how about you? Unmuted, please.
Hi. I wasn't muted, silly boy.
I know.
Anyway.
I'm just going to see how far we can drag this one out. Last week it was 45 minutes.
I think Wayne did a great job with this piece, and I have to agree with everybody. I thought it was well written, well done, and I want to thank him for sharing with us. So, great. Mm-hmm.
It was. It was something different, a conversation with the rain, as that second stanza points out. And then to open up the third one, we talked and smiled, rain ran down my face, licked my lips thinking, what a clean face. Then he offers up that idea of no matter how you start out with the blues in the first stanza, as the rain continues, you get that cleanse, that notation of things being washed away. And he finishes out with that last stanza. My tears mixed with many puzzles shed while remembering the words Rain said. I'll see you later as I pass by. But for now, there's not a cloud in the sky. So there's that offering, hey, it's all been washed away. Take your booze and put on some shoes and have a bit of fun. Nicely done, Wayne. Thank you. All right, Gene, we're back to you.
Well, I'm going to share with everybody that Frank's piece really was on the board already and that I just didn't see it. So I just thought I'd share that with you. But
wait, we talked about that.
Huh?
Did we talk about Frank's piece?
I know, but it was already there. I went to load it and it was already there. Never mind. Anyway, I put it up on the board. Now I'm going to hit it on the switchboard. Pam, I hope you understand what I said.
Yes.
Kind of.
In the most haunting episode of my phantasmagoric dreams, I see the daunting image of a phantom roaming like a vampire in the crescent darkness of the molded moss of the Emerald Forest, beyond the two shamrocks in the lush grassland of Ireland. She wends upon the cracked dry leaves and splintered boughs, over the thick thorny vines of the wetlands and the moist fungus, searching for the cravens that had condemned her to a drear dungeon, dressed in a blouse stained with old blood and dirt, she rose from her tomb. With long her tresses tainted in specks of the bruniest dust, she spooks the villagers with her spectral guise and soft ruby lips, etched within their superstitious minds in the gripping fears they hide from the brimstone of her wrath in clover eyes. The creepy and eldritch sound of the wind blows like a raging tempest as they hear the croaking of the ravens resound with a frightening echo, and the tapping on the door turns to a creaking noise of rust and a heavy breath of death they hear lurking behind them clearly. She scratches the skin of their necks, then pierces it with a razor bite. Satan, our crimson liquid thirst, for she is the devil's concubine.
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is truly appreciated. All right. Let's see. Naomi, why don't we start with you? We got some goose flesh running?
I love the all the amazing lines he has in here that reflects the nature, the darkness that is throughout this poem, but you know how he attacks it through nature, just the molded moss, the emerald forest, beyond the teal shamrocks, and the lush grassland of Ireland, and then the cracked dry leaves and splintered boughs, or the thick thorny vines of the wetlands and the moist fungus. Just, attacks that the nature so beautiful. And in that last stanza, the final to last stanza, the creepy and eldritch sound of the wind blows like a raging tempest. Just amazing wording throughout this whole poem here. He did a fabulous, fabulous job in staging this whole the whole atmosphere of this poem, this story, the surroundings, and just drags you into the story and envelopes you in this darkness, So a great job, Frank. Wow, bravo.
Thank you very much, Naomi. All right, Pam, what about you?
Well, just a wonderful dark right, just a real classic feel up to it. I like that he brings us into the emerald forest and grasslands of Ireland. Great use of classic language, like she wends upon the cracked dry leaves and splintered boughs, or the thick thorny vines of wetlands and the moist fungus. He really uses not only this creature herself to bring in the darkness, but the imagery of the moss and the wetlands around to really create, as Naomi said, an atmosphere. I like how it gets progressively darker and darker, and you really sense the fear and the horror within, with lines like resound with a frightening echo. and the tapping on the door turns like a creaking noise of rust. I liked that he used the noise of rust rather than just ending on creaking, but the idea that rust itself is a noise rather than just an image, I thought really nice touch. So very well done.
Nicely said, Dan. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I have to say, I thought this was a wonderful dark piece, really well written. It was remarkable imagery throughout. And as always, it was an excellent audio. So great job, Frank. And thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Thank you. I, too, found that that bit with the, what was it? In the crescent darkness of the molded moss of the emerald forest, beyond the teal shamrocks and the lush grassland of Ireland, was a nice moment of color. You get all shades of green in that note. And then that phantom Roman, like a vampire. And I thought he's abbreviated quite a bit. This is something nice to see from someone else for a change. Excellent. Nicely done, Frank. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well.
All right, Jean. Right back on you.
I'm sending this to you. Surprise.
All right. Don't Stop by Jack Tomkovic. Don't stop seeing the joy of falling leaves in autumn, red into brown, brown to yellow, yellow to orange, new snow in winter, whiter than ivory, cleaner than Lysol. First daffodils in spring, lemon pies growing tall. Embrace the heat of August, let it bake, and broil that skin in tanning oil. Embrace the cool, the cold, the warm, and snugging close against the storm. And boom. All right, Gene, this is way up your alley. Come and get it.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not sure why you said that. But actually, I thought it was a nice piece by Jack. Clever and well-written and well-done. And, yes, he says it was a piece that just a bit about beauty, it says. You know, I don't know. It had some cozy moments. It had some, you know, interesting moments. So, just a great job, Jack, and thanks for sharing with us.
Oh, thank you. And that was for the short, impactful lines right up your alley.
Yes. Yeah, I'm short. I'm short lines. Oh.
Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really liked this. It definitely had some fun moments, and I liked the short lines. I liked the stanza is red into brown, brown to yellow, yellow to orange, because it's to me this idea of how life is filled with constant changes. I also like that he starts with don't stop seeing the joy. You know, to me there's this whole idea of, you know, don't stop having a child's heart, childlike heart, a childlike faith. You know, the whole thing just really speaks wonderfully on the idea of appreciating all the transformations of life, all the moments of life. And so beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you very much, Kim. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I just loved that. First of all, I love the flow of this. You know, it's just like an easy, breezy writing, you know, so simple, but yet it contains, you know, so much emotion, I think, here, well, at least for me. It just, you know, the it's warm and snuggly and you know, just to love life, like Pam said, and to appreciate. I just love the lines, first daffodils in spring, lemon pies growing tall. He has this way of writing, Jack, that I so love. You know, it's as if he just sits down and it just comes pouring out of him. you know, effortlessly. it seems that way anyway. And that he just has so much fun writing. You can just tell. So I just love this all the way through. Bravo, Jack.
Thank you, ladies. It's a nice touch of the beauty in all seasons. From fall, the color changes to that fresh snow, and the thought of cleaner than Lysol adds that nice touch of, you might use Lysol around the house, but you don't need it outside because the snow takes care of it all. Now, the first daffodils of spring, that was a nice touch because my daffodils have already bloomed and gone, except for the greenery, which will soon be gone too. So I'll have to wait till next year to see them all over again. But the thought of that, the second and third would stand from the bottom, hitting that roll of heat. Embrace the heat of August, let it bake, and broil that skin in tanning oil. And then to finish out, embrace the cool and snuggling close against the storm. Nice touch there. Finish out a seasonal play in a short 65 words. Nicely done there, Jack. Thank you. All right, Jane, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie. Well, Pam, I hope you have a drink of water next to you. I'm putting the next one up for you. There you go.
All right. And this is, oh, my goodness, you didn't save that one for yourself. Wow. Okay.
I thought you might. I suggested it earlier.
All right, this is Liquidity by Casey Day, and it goes like this. Gave me a water with lemon when I asked you for a dry martini. Hold the olives. You're nothing but a meeny weeny with a teeny peeny. End poem.
All right, Jean, I hear you giggling real good. You get first dibs.
I just chuckled when I read it. And I thought, okie dokie, meeny weeny with a teeny peeny. There you go, you know. She said it was short and funny, and I guess sometimes we all have to be that way. But I'm surprised she didn't call in to read that one. But thanks for sharing.
You might not have made it through the last line without giggling.
Maybe.
Thank you.
My gosh.
Naomi, how about you?
I just love that. Hey, guy, give her the olives the next time because you teeny weeny, you teeny peeny. Yeah, just a playful write by Casey here. Then she says, Lola, I'm goofy today. Yeah, that is amazing. Amazing write here by Casey Day. Just so playfully delightful.
Thank you, Naomi. Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, that was fun to read. That last line definitely makes you laugh. I like how it's a kind of like meeny weeny just sounds like playground insults. You know, back in the day when you used to shout at each other, you know, I am rubber, you are glue, whatever you say bounces off me and sticks on you. It has that whole feel to it. But I do like the gave me a water with lemon when I asked you for a dry martini. Like that first part really speaks of, you know, well, it just speaks to the whole idea of expectations and being let down, but does it in like a great imagery and a dash of like biting humor. So very well done.
Well, then I think there's a little fever in this one because look at that pic. So this comes across as a little catty. So I can imagine she went into the bar. The bartender determined that she's already had way too much, so that's where the last line comes in handy. Meeny weeny with a teeny peeny. You suck as a bartender. And get the last laugh out of it. I'll go elsewhere for my drinks. Bye. All right, Eugene, we're back to you.
Yeah, well, he's not here. He had to step out for a minute. But I bet you she was looking for a gin martini. That's what the problem was. A gin will do crazy things to you. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they call them Bombay Blackies.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they called a lot of things right. Woo-hoo. Okay, Naomi, I'm going to put the next one
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Are you referring to panty droppers?
I didn't say that. You did. Tequila makes her clothes fall. Tequila makes her clothes fall. Yeah. Gin just makes you thin. Just saying. See?
Okay, this is by Passion's Promise, Wrong Scent to Bring. Sheer vanilla silk attire, fresh picked sunflowers, rose-colored cheekbones, soft ruby lips and satin slip-ons, fresh laundered linen with grandma's old quilt, scent of jasmine filled the air. Old-fashioned curls draped barest of shoulders, soft ringlets smooth against cheeks, breathless, creak of old truck door, rough neck non-shaven, Rebel Stetson hat and construction uniform, waiting behind the door, his fantasy, his love. Upon opening the door, candles flickered, and in an instant his grin said it all. And in embrace, her eyes filled with tears, sorrow, when he tilted her chin to his, he knew that she knew. Scent of sweat replaced by dove, and a scent unfamiliar to her. Walking away, smoke rings left from lit cigarettes, she sat by the windowsill and wept silently. Silent was his punishment for years to come. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. You got up on the first one here.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is beautiful. I like how she doesn't just use imagery, but she delves into to scent. Sheer vanilla silk attire, freshly picked sunflowers, rose-colored cheekbones, soft ruby lips, and satin slip-ons, fresh laundered linen. I thought the fresh laundered linen was a really nice touch because, to me, it shows how hard this woman worked on making not only herself, but her home beautiful and inviting. And all the way through, she really sets the tone for what one hopes will be a romantic evening. But then there's that scent of betrayal, you know, that idea of him being caught because he couldn't take a bath nor a shower. And, you know, the whole idea of him just reeking of that unfamiliar scent that was not her own. So just a wonderful emotive write on betrayal found out and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? Unmute.
Yes, I am. See, 45 minutes must be my marker.
Yes, you moved it four more minutes. You're up to 49 minutes now.
Yeah, I mean, go figure. But I thought this is, I promise, I don't know, it's just something. I thought the tale was well told. Nice imagery and emotions were well conveyed throughout this piece. And, I have to agree with Pam. It was just really nicely done. So, Yep. Good job.
Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you? You got to read it.
Yeah, this is just beautiful. You know, the imagery throughout is just fantastic. From the hair to like Pam said, you know, she just delved into those sense, you know. But if you look at the picture, the soft pastel, the rosy colors, you know, that the softness of the picture, I think, reflects into the right. She's so captivated that prompt so well, and she put all that color, and you can just like smell the jasmine, you know, through the colors and the rosy, you know, that she has rose colored cheekbones, soft ruby lips. You take the colors that are in that picture, I think she transported them so well into this poem. Just such a beautiful, beautiful right here by Passions. Just bravo on this piece all through. Just a roller coaster of emotions she took us through. Just beautiful.
Nice, Naomi. You're right. Those first three stanzas hit on the moment from that picture with a little allusion to what's going on. And then that little turn of phrase, creak of old truck door. There's that passing over to the next round. Then you get the rough neck, the non-shaven rebel, Stetson hat and construction uniform. Another nice touch to who and what he is. And then awaiting behind the door, his fantasy, his love. But then you get that that moment, that scent of a woman moment, except it ain't coming from the man's point of view. It's coming from hers. And it was once a phrase, a woman can smell another woman on their man a mile away. And, well, you know what? The bottom end of that tells it all. Silence was his punishment for years to come. Nicely done, Passion. Thank you very much. All right, Jane. It's a bag to you.
Let me see. Am I on mute? Nope, I'm not on mute. Okay, I'm getting better again. Okay, this next piece. Well, if it'll ever move. Wow. Yeah, starting to wonder here. Okay. The next piece, I'm going to read it. Pam's probably totally confused now. It's called "The City is a Serving Tray" by Kay Heartless. The boulevard is on display. The city is my serving tray. Watchtower kettle brews, a secret blend of leaves, steeps the perfect recipe. Dessert tower cathedral holds scrumptious delights, displayed at staggering heights. The moon above's macaroon, a sweet and crunchy delicacy, chewy almond symmetry. The steeple's a stirrer, swirling misty creations, cocktail spirits, strong libations. A strut the highball avenue, as Martini Street lays a gleam, buttery custard cream. Night unfolds its napkin, garnishes the city with a twist. Lemon, lime, and grapefruit kissed, churning in a beveled dish. Catch a sugar bowl bus, a sweet sightseeing rush, and decanter these streets, life's piquant treats. And poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, I just love this whole thing, you know, how she dived into this prompt and how she, you know, how this is so witty and so clever. You know, she served up the city, like her title says, as on a serving tray, and she pictured everything as food, you know, the watch tower as a kettle that brews, and the tower cathedral dessert, the moon as a macaroon, and you know, she goes on, and night unfolds its napkin, garnishes the city with a twist, lemon lime, grapefruit kiss churning in a beveled dish, and even the bus is a sugar bowl. You know, this is so cleverly and brilliantly written all through. Amazing, amazing, you know, extended metaphor here of food as the city. And, you know, just filled with brilliant, wonderful flow and brilliant words things and metaphors and imagery. So bravo to Kate, to a K Heartless on this write. Just beautiful.
Well said, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is really enjoyable. It rhymes nicely. I like that most verse stanzas are the three-line rhyme, which I find just creative. What I really like is just wonderful imagery, but you can tell it's imagery that was carefully chosen. She had a consistent theme, and yet, you know, you could tell she put thought into each one, like the moon above is a macaroon, a sweet and crunchy delicacy. You know, that is just, you know, to describe the moon as a macaroon, I thought was just spot on. I also really like, I struck the highball avenue as Martini Street lights gleam, buttery custard cream. Absolutely looks into the various delicious options that a city offers up, and a sugar bowl bus, a sweet sightseeing rush. I think, to me, that really wraps it all up nicely because of the whole idea that when you just decide to get on a bus and go somewhere, you know, you just never know what you're going to see from one blink to the next. And it's all just, well, it's a treat for the senses. So this was a beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, you got to read, so how about you?
You know, I think that this was a great piece. I thought it was nicely penned, line after line of tasty treats, and it was an excellent capture of the prompt. I mean, because when you look at the prompt, you can see the decanter and the glasses and what looks to be a tea kettle. And you see all these little tidbits, and all she did was just add to it, or maybe just she could see more into it than I could. And I think that this was a great piece and well done. So thank you, Kay Heartless.
It is. The picture's great, but drawing everything out of it like she did with this, it hits on that notion of the city is my oyster, and tonight I dine. The thought with the macaroon was a nice touch, as well as the martini street lamps offered up as buttery custard cream, another nice twist. The night unfolds its napkin, a great thought to adding a bit darkness without actually hitting into darkness. Garnish the city with a twist. Another great line there. Lemon, lime, and grapefruit kiss churning in a beveled dish offers up the landscape as maybe with a little bit of cloudage and a little bit of something else churning within it, which was really good. And playing out with the thoughts of sweets, drinks, and just a fun time works really well with this picture. And I know it's kind of offered up as a simplicity of the thought. It's kind of derogatory, but it's not, because she's actually drawn from the picture and went with something that everybody can render unto themselves, the thoughts, the decanter, the tea kettle, the martini glass, and draw from that such a illustrious thoughts, the highball avenue. That was another nice touch. So, well done, Kay. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, we're back to you.
Okay, well, Rex, I'm going to send it back to you again. So there you go.
Okay. A Simple With You by Daniel Bishino. In my home, I stand entombed by a collection of relics, like a lonely pharaoh still searching for self. But one smile from my wife and son, and I forget everything that I own, and all that glitters the same, but on bum my hoard is there, an Arkenstone? A shrill cry, a whistle through time, and I am suddenly lost at sea. Numbers fly through my mind like bullets from a long-lost gun. USS Franklin, CV-13, March 19, 1945. Son of an immigrant, a patriot, not even 18. Call from home to a world away, in an unforgiving sea, and an unforgiving explosion for an unforgiving faceless foe, and young man's next awakening floats in an endless sea, alone. What thoughts for the mind of a life barely begun, a circular horizon of water and wind, no idea of time, no idea of place, floating to await the end, floating between unreachable heaven and an inevitable abyss, floating from the only clothing that will ever really matter, a vest so aptly named life. Minutes stab with icy waves like years, hours burn with mocking sun like centuries. There is no more tortured mind than the one waiting for death, but the universe, the cruel and indifferent universe that created it all, sometimes shows its merciful heart, and the wind sails away, and the waves quiet, let others speak, and a ship slowly comes into vision, like an angel in a dream, and the only other possession that will ever really matter, an afterthought, just one on a list, a whistle blows in the vast Pacific air, and I stand 7 years from when the whistle blew, I tell this tale that echoes in the Church of God as I stare at cask and flag and I hold up a simple whistle. Go off to see what a real treasure looks like. And punk. All right, Payne, you got this one up front.
Who?
Pam, where you at?
I'm sorry, I thought he said Naomi for some reason. There was a slight just accent that just threw me off.
They sound the same, Pam, Naomi. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I did have to look up Arkansas. Obviously, I'm not a diehard, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien fan, so I didn't know that immediately. That was a reference to, you know, like it is a jewel that buried beneath the mountains, searched for by the dwarves. You know, and so it was highly treasured. So I thought once I knew what that meant, and I like learning, I like poetry that helps me to learn something. It really added to the depth of the poem, you know, and especially that he puts it in all gold, there's the same, but among my horrors, there's an Arkenstone. I thought that fit really well with that. You know, I like that he takes us back in time, this like almost like the mind, a sense of time travel, but with the mind, and you know, I variations, and I don't always think this works, but when he had one particularly long stanza, that really added to the intensity of the rite. There is no more tortured mind than the one waiting for death, but the universe, the cruel and indifferent universe that created it all, sometimes shows its merciful heart, and the wind sails away. I like how that part really touches on the whole idea that we just don't know what the universe has in plan for us and what life will bring us. And sometimes when we wish for it all to disappear, we get shown even more. So a beautiful, thought-provoking rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi?
Yeah, I had time to read to his AN, and this is a real story here, you know, a real testimony that he's talking about. He's talking about his father and how that whistle, that simple whistle saved him, you know, during the war. So just an amazing, amazing testimony and story told here. You know, that, you know, sometimes just, you know, you pass on the simple value of things in life that are so precious, you know, and he goes on to say in his comments that, you know, that whistle will be passed down from generation to generation. He's going to give it to his son. And, you know, he names the poem A Simple Whistle, but, you know, from the right, it's so much more than that, than just a simple whistle. You know, as so many things, so many simple things are in life that we just pass on. And, you know, they are greater than just simply what they seem to be. So just an amazing, amazing night here by Daniel.
Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was an incredible piece and a wonderful tribute to his dad. It was awesome work, and, you know, I really enjoyed it very much. It's another – Dan's very good at taking pieces of his family history and putting them into rites. It's kind of like Richard, you know, in the way it's done. They're just tidbits. And he pulls them out, and they put them in there, and they make something wonderful out of them. And that history isn't lost. You know, that family history gets to carry forward in so many ways. And I think that Dan is excellent at that, and I think this piece is wonderful. So well done, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I wasn't too intrigued with that thought with the Arkenstone, heart of the mountain, but... based on that opening two lines, in my home I stand entombed by a collection of relics. Arkenstone is also known as the king's jewel, that which is most important, and that reference being that whistle, which is so aptly hit on the bottom end, a simple whistle for all to see. What a real treasure, something that survived a horrendous moment in March of 1945. And I mean, the Franklin was only was put to sea, commissioned in 1944, and it was the most heavily damaged aircraft carrier to survive World War II. So they saw their fair share of noted battles. And this date that he's talking about was an attack from the Japanese, and which saw, I think it was 800 seamen lost during that battle, and his grandfather, well, father being one of the lucky ones that actually survived that barrage, and to do it, he hits on everything within the story, so he must have drawn some notes from his father. Minutes stabbed with icy waves like years, hours burned with mocking sun like centuries. There is no more tortured mind than the one waiting for death, but the universe, the cruel and a different universe that created all, sometimes shows its merciful heart, and the wind sails away, and the waves quiet to let others speak. And the ship slowly comes into vision, like an angel in a dream, and the only other possession that will ever really matter, and that thought, just one on the list, a whistle blows in the vast Pacific air. Now, that hits on the note of what it's like to be bobbing about on an ocean like that, sometimes for days, sometimes for hours, and that's quite a story right there in and of itself. That touch of that one long stanza, which says it all from that moment after the being blown overboard. Nicely done there, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. We're coming back.
Right. Next piece, I'd like to welcome Passion's Promise to the board, and welcome to the party.
Hello, hey. Passion.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Good, doing
good. How about
good.
You? We're doing well.
Wow, that's great to hear.
Okay. And the next piece, Pam, I have the next piece up for you, if you don't mind.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right, this is Eureka by Colap, and it goes like this. Feline topaz eyes narrow as you focus, pump teeth, my blood to pump, irrigating my lungs, filling them up, I sigh. Neurons connect, filaments lit, and tungsten emits. scent of promises to be met, ideas, detail, implement, odds, objectives to attain, head boiling, steam reaching brim, overflowing with creation, new ways of seeing things, a window opens upon another, freeing birds of innovation, but my love for you will stay unchanged. As the wheel will turn, there isn't a more perfect form. All the lights are on. They shine on us. Our old love is renewed. End poem.
Great, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Passion, you were the last one in. You're the first one up.
All right. Well, I like how that rolls. This is a beautiful piece of Mount, to me, renewal. And I like the, with creation, the ways of seeing things, that window opens upon another, freeing birds of innovation, but my love for you will stay unchanged. And it is a great piece on captivating the moment, I guess, about an old love renewed. It's something that was lost but then rekindled, and I think that can happen in most cases. Most people can relate to that piece. It's a beautiful piece.
Thank you very much, Passion. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I just love this, how he, the flow of this whole piece. From the feline topaz eyes narrow as you focus, you know, my blood to pump, irrigating my lungs, filling me up, I sigh. And, you know, all through, but I think it changes momentum a bit when he comes to, with creation, new ways of seeing things, a window opens upon another, freeing birds of innovation, but my love for you will stay unchanged. Then he starts to get into the personal, you know, and passions mentioned, you know, that old love can always be renewed. And so wonderful, wonderful, right here by Colap, as always. It's just beautiful, this hope of new love.
Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a nicely penned piece by Colette. I thought her emotions were well expressed throughout. And, you know, there is nothing in life better than, nothing greater than a second chance. And that's really what that comes down to, you know. All the lights are on. They shine on us. Our old love is renewed. So, you know, well, there's no better way to end that one. So, awesome job, Colette.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I really enjoy and appreciate this write. Wonderful use of imagery, a strong sense of emotions. I really like my blood to pump, irrigating my lungs, filling them up. I sigh, neurons connect, filaments lit, and tungsten emits. Head boiling, steam reaching brim, overflowing. There's, to me, this whole idea of how life, because of its constant flux and change, it can oftentimes, and emotions especially, can be very overwhelming. And I like where it goes, but my love for you will stay unchanged as the wheel will turn. There is the more perfect form. You know, the idea that, you know, I like that it touches on that saying about, you know, not perfecting the wheel, or something like that. I think there's a saying like that, but the whole idea of, like, if it works, if the shape of a wheel works, don't try to change it. If the shape of a relationship or a love works, don't try to change it. So just a beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Eureka was the right title for this. It hits on advice of things, because you look at that first stanza, feline topaz eyes narrow. It's a bit of weariness right there. My blood to pump, irrigating my lungs, filling them up. It's a kind of note of a choking in the moment. And then the sigh. And then the brain firing up. The thoughts with the sense of promises to be met. It's on the idea of possibilities. Head boiling, steam reaching brim, overflowing. There's a double note in that. You could be going one way or the other, or both at the same time. And then the thought with the creation, new way of seeing things. There's that eureka moment. One window opens upon another, freeing birds of innovation. So there's that note of, all right, the mind's free in the moment, and that's where the lights get turned on. And that's where a beginning or re-beginning comes across. Nicely done, Carla. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're still coming back to you.
I know. Okay. Naomi, I have one for you. So here we go, whenever you're ready.
Okay, this is unapologetically happy. Yes, I'm tired. Days come and go. Days drain away like water running down a sloping street, disappear through doors and windows, die like falling stars unnoticed across self-centered skies. A draft brings in a scent that strikes a chord that once was you. Unraveling my tightly tailored stitches of resolve, I clench soft parts of me that drew you once, now a blackened flue, myself interment in an iron maiden of my own design, will hold me firm against handing myself back to Cimmerian darkness. End poem.
Thank you very much, Naomi. Great read. All right, Pam, what you got?
Wow, this is absolutely a beautiful brevity. She really packed a lot in here. I like the way she makes the stanzas flow. It's almost like it's written in one block, but there's this certain sense of movement and spacing that works really well. I like how she brings in, like falling stars unnoticed across self-centered sky, the draft brings in a scent that strikes a chord. So oftentimes it's that sense of smell that really makes memories light up and really just hits hard. My self-interment is an iron maiden of my own design will hold me firm. You know, I thought of all of this whole rite, bringing in the self-interment, the iron maiden of their own design was just a perfect touch because it really focuses on the way we often torment ourselves with our own thoughts. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Ashton, how about you?
You know, this actually strikes the chord with me. It kind of is, it's sad. And, you know, with the feel of they make the movement with the words. And you can feel that there's a sense of remembrance in, you know, trying to fight that battle of going back to the darkness where the depressive state. And I feel strength in this piece as well. And I like it. It's a great piece of brevity. Wonderfully, wonderfully penned.
Wow, thank you, Patterson. And Jean, how about you?
Hi. I too thought this was a wonderful brevity. Great imagery. Enjoyed the interlines to this piece very much. And then I'm with Pam, you know, like falling stars unnoticed across self-centered skies. Adrift brings in a scent that strikes a chord that once was you, unraveling my tightly tailored stitches of resolve. Just that set of lines was really pretty incredible. Definitely a wonderful job unapologetically LMB. Linda, I think is her name. That's much simpler for me. But excellent job. Thanks.
Nice, Dean. Thank you. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I just love Linda's writing every time. She just gets me. You know, she has this way of packing so much into a brevity, so much emotion, so many beautiful metaphors. And she's always starts out her brevity so strong. You know, what beautiful lines, like how beautiful is that? Days come and go. Days drain away like water running down a sloping street, disappearing through doors and windows, die. You know, it just sweeps you in, you know. And the way, you know, it flows back and forth, you know, through the wording and through the lines and through her formatting really, you know, emphasizes all the the beauty of this writing. I just love also how she uses black and flu there, you know, a black flu. That's so like so visceral there, that the thought of that, a black and flu, and the use of Iron Maiden also, and you know, just all through, I just love the imagery and the emotion that this invoked inside of me as I read it. So it's just beautiful.
Absolutely. This is kind of, if you look at this as two parts, from Days Come down to Stitches of Resolve, that's one part, which is a really good part to kind of concentrate on. The thought of days come and go, days drain away like water running down a sloping street, disappear through doors and windows, die, like falling stars unnoticed across self-centered skies. A draft brings in a scent that strikes a chord that once was you, unraveling my tightly tailored stitches of resolve. So that's where the back end of this, that notation of locking oneself up, the thought of, as Naomi used to point out, that black and blue gives rise to a number of thoughts. And myself interment in an Iron Maiden. Now there is something about closeting yourself away from everything. One of own design, something special. And one that holds herself back from handing herself over to that Sumerian darkness. Sumerian darkness, nomadic, something where one has to walk and or crawl through that darkness itself, but is unwilling to do so. So they lock themselves away from anything that might trouble that existence and bring them back into it. Nicely done unapologetically. Thank you very much.
Oh, he's,
all right,
see, he's just a show. Y'all saw he
is
was just
who?
Being a show up there, letting us know that he could pronounce that word. I just want everyone to know that.
Oh. I got one coming back at me on that one. Nice.
I do.
That's what I get for remembering 45 minutes last week and 49 minutes this week, and we're moving up. Got to make it now next week.
See, next week. That'll be 50 minutes. 50 minutes. Okay, I'm moving up. Yep. Okay. Promise, I have a poem for you coming your way.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, Hot Toddy by Mandy 42.
Don't sound over dude.
Oh, you were a little under the weather. Take a power nap, I said, and I'll make you a hot toddy. You killed the zest of lemon, the smoky dash of whiskey. But it was herbs and honey, not magic. So I offered you some hydrotherapy, and we fogged the glass with stressed and unstressed syllables of breath. I lathered you up, washer over elevated temp, bubbles blowing over hard thighs. I trailed the veins of your inner biceps, sinking down, blue streams. You responded well to treatment. Then I tended the bone of your tail, and then the column of your neck, pressing phantom love bites as we both got slick. But it was all above board, because you were symptomatic, but grateful as your delirium broke over the pools of my plum paint toenails. Your hands easy like bunny tails over warm pastures, creaming goat's milk on shivers of lambskin. Such a gentleman, thoughtful, deliberate, but more so determined to kiss everywhere but the mint of my mouth. I was too warm for your Shakespearean protest. And with the slip of my tongue, I welcomed your fever. End poem.
Great read. All right.
I'll
and
put my
you get
all
to
in
on
that.
This one first. Oh, I haven't seen a hot party quite like that one.
No,
Sam? Are you
yeah,
muted?
Yeah, I thought. I was, yes, yes. I really liked this. I like how it's a sensual rite, but it's more than just the sensuality. It's the front part is the idea of taking care of somebody, like really caring about when they're sick, and then the sensuality just really starts to build up. I really like where she goes, sinking down blue streams, you respond well to treatment. I like that the little tidbit of humor within there. And then the imagery of your hands easy like bunny tails over warm pastures, creaming goat's milk on shivers of lambskin. I thought it was a really great choice to go with goat's milk because oftentimes that's used in soaps as a moisturizer. And so I really thought it added to the sensuality of the imagery. So very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I just love this. You know, the way she took that cup of hot tea there and she just went with it. You know, she used her, she's so clever and so witty and such a great imagination. And, you know, this is just a stroke of a masterful stroke here. You know, the way she painted such vivid imagery on the reader's mind here, you know, with and the metaphor she used, oh, my gracious, to kiss everywhere but the mint of my mouth. I was too warm for your Shakespearean protests. And with the slip of my tongue, I welcomed your fever. Wow. You know, just amazing, amazing writing here by Mandy 42.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. Jean, how about you?
Wow. Oh, my, my. What a wonderfully sensual piece. I said that's one of the ones. One way to cure the one you love. I mean, really. I thought she did a great job with the piece, and it was a clever take on that prompt. Really nice work. A nice read, Tom. Nice read.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. All right, Passion, you got to read it. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is I'm a little under the weather. Oh, shoot. Diggity. this is a beautiful, beautiful sensual piece. I love I loved it from the get go. I mean, I can't even tell you. Which, I mean, I lathered you up, washed over elevated temp, bubbles blowing over hard thighs. I trailed the veins of your inner bicep sinking down. I mean, I can't even pick out the lines. I would have to read the whole thing over again. This is an exceptional piece. The imagery she painted was fantastic. It was superb. There's nothing I can say about it. This is just an exceptional piece that Mandy had written.
Absolutely. This one,
when it hit the title,
I said, okay, this is going to be different. And that was an understatement. Clearly an understatement. That thought up to Blue Streams was a nice walk into kind of not the heavy, but just to kind of lead up to. Because then she started the back end of this with, you responded well to treatment. Then I tended the bone of your tail and then the column of your neck, pressing phantom love bites as we both got slick. But it was all above board. Uh-huh. Grateful as your delirium broke over the pools of my plum painted toenails. This was just a very, very slick piece of sensuality gone very wild.
Oh, Lord. I don't know what to do with y'all. Slick it was. I'm glad I got to
read that.
All right,
Dean, coming back to your way.
I'll keep joking. And here we go. Let me see now. This is called The Sterile-Hearted by Namdag Somo, also known as Pam 8. Sterile people, you know the kind, degrees of diplomas, celebrations of mind, official elections, testing of faith, rejection of difference, oppression, and hate. It's great to know where the mind is at if one's heart keeps compassionate dealings with all. Open door policy to the whole of life, sworn to embracing the fold, yet so many morals are so easily bought and then sold. What is the point in going in their direction at all if they turn their backs on the masses when they're forced to crawl? Leave not our fellow beings behind. Rise. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, this is so much truth in this poem, especially in the words, embracing the fold. Yet so many morals are so easily bought and then sold. And what is the point of going in all their direction at all if they turn their backs on the masses when they're forced to crawl? Leave not our fellow beings behind. Rise. So true in this I think society in general, but also, you know, she talks about diplomas and celebration of mind, official elections, in society in general, in the world today, and especially with the what's going on with the Ukraine, where we're all sympathizing and sad about it, but, you know, nobody's really doing anything about it. So I just thought that this was an amazing, amazing write by Pam.
Thank you, Naomi. And Passions, how about you?
Well said, Naomi. I agree. I was reading the open door policy to the whole bullet lines sworn to. So many morals are so easily bought and then sold, and it's so true these days, and it's sad. They hit on a lot of importance that, you know, we as a country need to do is to man together and rise up. And it's a powerful piece. Powerful piece.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is definitely a powerful piece. It's got strong imagery throughout. I like that she starts with the phrase sterile people. The whole idea of people who are afraid to get themselves dirty, not only physically, but emotionally. They're afraid to step outside of their little boxes. You know, like everything has a way it's done and you don't stray from that. I like that the general theme of this, especially as it comes out in the end, is the whole idea of standing up and rising up for what is right, treating each other with that compassion. The open door policy of the whole of life, sworn to embracing the fold, yet so many morals are so easily bought and then sold. Now, those lines hit really hard because there's hypocrites in this world who will swear by their morals, but quickly they will slip away as soon as their palms are greased. So I felt like that was especially a standout part. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this is a wonderful expression of thought. I like how it hits on the good, the bad, and the ugly kind of thing. And totally is relatable and easy. The points were well made is what I think. And, Pam, I think you did it again. This is a great piece. You know, I absolutely love the ending there. Leave not our fellow beings behind. Rise. And everybody should be standing back to back, you know, and making it a better place for everybody. But it's going to take a while for that mentality to catch on, I think. So definitely well done. And
well said, ladies. And this does kind of point that finger at elitism, because sterile also means, besides being a clean, it's an environment the rest of us are not allowed into. Why? Because we're filthy, dirty little bottom feeders. While these people have their degrees, their diplomas, they specialize in this, that, and the other thing, and they're all bought off because in order to be in that club, someone has to hold something over your head to make you maintain the easily thought ideal of what they're trying to put forth. And therefore, the back end of this is definitely rise. Get rid of them. Find those that are willing to actually be that part of you that can run an operation without the stupidity and the falseness that seems to so corrupt us within. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okay. I'm going to put this one up. And Rex, I'm going to bow out of comments from here forward because we're a little tight and we got quite a few. So it's going to be interesting. Okay, the next one I want to put up is by Mr. M. It's called Evanescing. And here we go.
This is my recital of Evanescing. She was one to fantasize, hiding herself in thin disguise. If only she could realize, obsession leads to her demise. The last of dreams slowly dies, dimming the passion in her eyes. In naivety, she tries and tries to convince herself of the lies. Those tainted whispers I despise were met with broken, soft replies. The ashen tears she now cries are hollowed in their swift reprise. She lets loose her final sighs. The heart hums its last lullabies. Reborn as a swarm of black butterflies, she became one with the ominous skies.
Great read, Miss M. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Passion, why don't we start with you?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to just go with the take on my take of the piece because, well, to me, she was one to fantasize hiding herself in a thin disguise, that she was I may be wrong, but she was like an eating disorder type of thing going on. I mean, this is just my theory on this. If only she could realize obsession leads to her demise. She tries to convince herself of those tiny whispers of this. I mean, throughout, it's a sad piece that didn't end too well. It's a heartbreaking piece. She lets loose her final sighs. The heart humps its last lullaby. It's just a very, very sad piece to me. Well written.
Thank you.
It was well written. It's just very, very sad.
You were saying? Naomi, how about you?
Well, I think this, a lot of us can relate to maybe to this, one time in our life or not, when we try to be something else than we really are, when we're younger, we try to so hard to be this person. And, for this in this particular case, she kind of dies within her fantasy there of being, someone else. And that's what I got of it. And she becomes one with ominous skies. I think she loses herself inside of herself, from what I see in this piece. Terrific writing here by Mr. M. Just love this piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really like what Passions and Naomi both had to say. I love the way this flows, the shaping of it. It's dark, it's haunting and emotive. It makes me think the part right here, those tainted whispers I despise are met with broken soft replies, and then before that to convince yourself of the lies. It makes me think of bullying, but the main theme that I see within this that I really get from it is it's that whole idea of someone who has just had enough of those always accepting other people's lies, always accepting the pain offered up to them. It's that transition from naivety, or however you pronounce it, to awareness. It's that whole idea of no longer going to be standing around listening to other people's bullshit. And so, reborn a swarm of black butterflies, she becomes one with ominous skies. Very just dark, haunting feel, and very well done.
Thank you, ladies. This one's about death. That last note, she lets loose her final sighs. The heart hums its last lullabies. Reborn as a swarm of black butterflies, she became one with ominous skies. Is that note of the rebirth as the black butterflies, that note to that which is always something around you, dark, death. But the thought of it kind of hits a notion of maybe, because he hits on obsession, maybe the obsession itself isn't just about the body, or maybe it's over drugs. And the lies, I think the lies in this are what she tells herself to get by. And when they... she finally realizes the lies aren't working anymore. She kind of falls apart. And the thought of having this as a mono rhyme works really well, too. Got a great storyline to it. Thank you, Mr. M. All right, Gene, we're heading back to you.
Okay, okay. I think we're going to be a little bit over 12, but if everybody be so kind, maybe we can run them out. There's not that many over and above. But, Pam, I have this piece for you, if you don't mind.
All right. The Pink Tax by Diane D. And it goes like this. In the Garden of Eden, the story begins. A rib sliced from Adam ignited the sins. The apple, the snake, the trespasses of Eve laid the foundation that some men believe. Menial and straight-laced, servile to men, women unbraided and blamed of a sin, birthing the babies and keeping the house, slaving and pleasing the cardinal spouse. The turn of the century, there came a decree. Rules were relaxed and women set free to work in the factories alongside the men, but still making $5 instead of 10. Then came a tax, gender pricing as well. Tariffs on women were prejudiced still. They muted, permitted, and politely obeyed, for women cementing, no longer afraid. The law of the land was women would pay ladylike taxes on pinks used any day. Then came a movement called Women's Lib, all the world over, unless women hid. They fought for the right to earn equal wages, all watched open mouthed. They rose up in stages. Always away with the pink tax. We're going to vote in the 21st century. Women have hope. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Naomi, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I just love, 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 love this poem. You know, it takes us down the history. Promenade here of the woman's, you know, the woman's, all their, what they had to deal with, you know, throughout time, till they came to that moment when they did rise and, you know, scream out for their rights to vote, right for abortion, a right to, you know, to for so many rights for equal wages, you know, and we're still fighting today, and I think that fight is never over. And if we do just slip away a bit and be silent, well, you know, we're going to be so many things are going to come up again, you know. It's a fight that's never over. And I think Diane attacked that so brilliantly in throughout this poem. Just well done throughout. So bravo, Diane.
Nicely said, Naomi. Thank you. And Passion, how about you?
Well, she laid it out before us. Bravo to her. Great detail. I mean, there's not much I can say. She laid it all out there and did a fantastic job on doing so.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Passion. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this was fun to read. I like how she wrote on a serious topic, but did it in a rhyme that has a Dr. Seuss sing-song-like quality to it. I like how she takes us through the history and the battles of women's rights, and reminds us that it wasn't easily, it didn't come easily. You know, it wasn't just handed over. It was something that had to, that people had to fight for. So nicely written and very well done.
Well said, ladies. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, let's see. Passions, I have another one for... Oh, no. I lied. Naomi, you're up first.
Well, I never.
Yes, you have. I'd bet your money on that.
Well, you're right. You are right.
Hey, like that last poem. I'm staying away from that one, too.
I am.
So this is called the Saturday Clothesline. I think Pam already heard this one. I stare at the wrinkled photograph curling at the corner, my mom and I sitting on the old wooden porch, my hand to my forehead above tiny squinted eyes. Must have been one of those stuffy hot summer days that seems hung in bees' legs sticky with honey. When the sky is hard and brittle as Freddy's crack open, smothered under a candy coating that muffles the breeze. I must be no older than 4 and, of course, no smile, but I never did back then. Not one single picture. My mom has no smile either, her arms crossed over her swollen, pregnant belly. And we both have the same empty stare, as if thoughts had floated out of our bodies to elsewhere. And I see the crowded clothesline hanging heavy. We're too poor to own a washer and dryer, so every Saturday, Mama scrubbed all our week's ghosts by hand on a washboard, the knuckle buster, she called it. Then she'd haul the heavy basket of dripping wet clean clothes out to the backyard to spread them across the clothesline. I remember stretching up on tiptoes, wishing I was taller and stronger, trying to help the best I could by passing her the clothespins. I can still hear her singing hymns about Jesus saving the world as if she was hanging up broken souls. Perhaps a little bit of mine so she could finally see me smile, but I really think she was hanging up all of hers. Because what my mother never knew is that I was always there, always listening behind her closed bedroom door. All those nights she had cried herself to sleep. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Now, you got to read the AN for context.
Oh, the AN, yeah. Well, my dad traveled all the time for working, leaving my English-speaking mom stranded in a French Quebec, where she didn't understand a word and couldn't communicate with anyone, alone to raise us 3 children. And so she would hide away a lot to cry.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, how about you? Start us off, please.
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. I do remember this one, and it's one of those that is worth hearing again. I like that you take us back with you to your memories, to the memories that were both moments of quiet, you know, solitude and the hard-hitting sadness. When you describe the picture of yourself and your mother together and neither one of you is smiling, it's that idea of how a child so picks up on the atmosphere of their parent, picks up on the sadness, the disappointment, the anger. And I like how you give us that glimpse into your mother about how she cared and about how she was hanging clothes on and singing those hymns about Jesus and how so oftentimes it's difficult until you're looking at it with hindsight to realize, you know, how much someone truly cared, but how much they were wrapped up in their own despair. So just a powerful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. Passion, how about you?
Another amazing piece, Naomi. It's breathtaking, and it takes me back to remembering the same issues with my mom and my dad, and I used to always help my mom with her hanging the clothes out on the clothesline and handing her the little pins, and of course she wasn't left a lot. My dad worked a lot, but she had neighbors and stuff that she can associate with. But this piece, you know, and we don't realize the effect we have on our children until years later, like where we both have the same empty stare. And we see that in our children as they grow up. We see things that we say, wow, she's just like me. And, you know, and it's amazing how things work. But you've done a beautiful job on this piece. You know, it's superb.
Thank you.
Thank you, Passion. And Jean, how about you? Unmuted?
I thought Jean was skipping comments.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I think this is Naomi. That's why you asked me. But and Naomi, I thought it was a wonderfully done piece, beautifully expressed. You know, great memories of childhood, wonderful imagery that you painted, and you painted a lovely picture with your words. I know some of it is sad, but just super well done. So nice job.
Thank you, Phil.
Well, absolutely. I think the last four lines of that first stanza, those were some great thoughts and painted well. And I don't usually read. In fact, I never really read the ANs, but this one kind of sit there because it says my dad right up front. So without that context, one would draw something totally different from out of this. So thank you very much for the context. It adds a nice note that one needs in order to understand the moment itself.
Thank you, Rex.
You're very welcome. All right, Jean, we're coming back up to you.
Okay.
Here we go again.
I'm hoping maybe we can squeak two more in. Maybe three.
Okay.
Well, this one and two more. Okay. Promise I have one for you, another for you. And you get the luck of the draw tonight, I'm telling you.
All right. Stay strong, we will get there, by Sapphire Rose. Tread slowly, baby, one day, one step, at any one time. No matter the distance between us, there is one sweet truth. I've locked you up tightly in my heart. I hold you safely embraced in my thoughts. I know we are living an imperfect reality, but please hold steady and true that you will find your way here to me and in turn me there to you. End poem.
Great read, Passion. Thank you. And Naomi, we'll start with you, please.
Oh, this is so beautifully written. I've locked you up tightly in my heart. I hold you safely embraced in my thought. You know, it's just such a loving poem, so beautifully written by Sapphire Rose here. Just amazing. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And one more. Pam, how about you?
I thought this was absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I would have sworn it was a new write, considering she just spent 2 weeks, blissful weeks, with her boyfriend. But don't 2 years old, but it's just wonderful, absolutely heartfelt, and I love the idea of embracing embracing each other within that imperfect reality, that love that kind of holds your thoughts. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Back to Eugene.
The damn Eugene's never here. Okay. Rex, I have
the next one
for you.
Yeah, I waited 58 minutes to throw that in.
That's right. Oh, my God. Okay, Rex, I'm going to have you read this one, and Pam, I have the next one for you.
All right. What's She Writing in There by Pam Ray? She's mysterious and beautiful, the kind of doll that grabs your heart. Neighbors say that she's a writer. They also gossip. She's a tart. You can look into a window with the old Venetian blind, and the way she looks so serious, it really blows the mind. She's always lost in thought about what I do not know, but she's often at the keyboard, fingers flying to and fro. They say that she's a writer. I guess that would make sense. But I've never known a writer who looks so mean and tense. I really want to know what she's writing in there. There's something in her demeanor that strikes chords of lust and fear. Her hair is smoke and fire. There's a spark within her eyes, a gown that plays hard games with more than just her thighs. Her lips are red and lovely. Her curves are devil's food. If she's writing about the neighbors, then this neighborhood is screwed. Often I keep questioning the screams from in her house. I really think she's setting traps for more than just the mouse. I really must confess, I gladly walk into a cause, but she's the kind of woman for whom I break some laws. crashing. You got first dibs on this.
This is awesome. This is awesome.
This is awesome.
I like all the verses. It just, I don't seriously believe she's mean and a tart, maybe, but I mean, come on. You can look into her window with the old Venetian blinds, and the way she looks so serious, it really blows in mind. You could just picture the scenario unfolding, and it's just amazing. I love the rhyme scheme, and the rhythm of this is fantastic, and it's a wonderful job. And you did a good job reading.
Thank you.
Thank you, Passion. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, this is just so so delightful. I think it's written, it is written from a man's point of view, but I just love her lips are red and lovely. Her curves are devil's food. If she's writing about the neighbors, then this neighborhood is screwed. I just love that. And then, down to the end, I really must confess, I'd gladly walk into her claws because she's the kind of woman for whom I'd break some laws. This is just stunning, the rhythm, the rhyme, the playfulness throughout it. All the imagery, because there is beautiful imagery all throughout this. This is a fantastic write here, Pam. Amazing.
Thank you, Naomi.
Nice, Naomi. And Jean, how about to you?
Oh, Pam, I thought this was a really well done job. I love how you wrote it from a man's perspective. I love the rhyme and meter throughout. Each stanza was just another chunk of little story, and it was just really well done. So I enjoyed it very
much.
Thank you.
I thought you might enjoy this one, Jean.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. If I
heard
a deeper voice,
it had some nice, funny moments in it. But when I got down to that, then this neighborhood is screwed, I think, oh, this is getting down to the dirty deeds done dirt cheap, and there's a dungeon involved here. Until that last stanza points out, oh, no, it isn't going that way. It's going the other way.
Turn it back around, yeah.
Thank you, Rex, and thank you for the read.
Welcome.
Great job there.
All right, Jean, it's back to you.
Okay, and for our last one for this evening, God, Pam, I got to give it to you because you had the biggest gap between last read and now. So I'm going to put this up. This is by Rex. And
all right. Playing in the Graveyard by Wichita Rick. And it goes like this. Playing in the graveyard. Aren't we always playing in the graveyard or just biding time? Often green like a pasture, always waiting places to rest in the hereafter. Oldest game in town, trying to stay on the upside of down. Many thoughts on final days to vary, to count the ways from basic or sublime. We stay as time ticks away, daily drifting on the edge, many bound by some religious pledge. Will our final words be ours or pleasantly passed on by some unknown pastor? Not always a plan or death in the first degree, no odds on a final decree. Set thoughts aside and be free, no test for the final cut, be it sudden or divine. Many memories and thoughts hover over all of those plots, simple and silent, flecks of color from flowers add life, so silent. If we listen, do we hear our pain or their laughter? Fountain of sorrow won't wait until tomorrow. Will we take in its beauty and be drowned in it? Golden faucet doesn't flow with poison water, no time to redesign. Many worry about falling at the time of their calling. Rest in peace, or RIP repelled into purgatory. Read a page or a big book, never know that final chapter. Will we take in its beauty or be drowned in it? No need to close your eyes. set aside what you despise? Why hide under the clouds when you can grow in the sunshine? Mark time as a saint, still pass with a faint. We make the mark, not the mausoleum or in a potter's field. Use the meadow and flowers to become a dancer. Life as a gift, counted as a win. If we understand feeling it as a joyous occasion, we are left as simply human. Learn to balance the pain, often our biggest gain. Destiny not always in our hands. Too many ways left unexplained, be it day or night, today or tomorrow. Can't run away. Fate always finds us no matter how much we discuss or live silently or have an enhancer. Are we ever ready for a giant wave to take it all away or prefer to drift back into a safe eddy? The sky is filled with redemption while the ground takes all with little exception. End poem.
Great read, Anne. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
I think you can resume this poem into, you know, take back your life. Take back the life that you want it to be. You know, just you know, take it all back. Don't let it, don't wait till you're on your deathbed just wishing that you'd done this and done that. Just, you know, go out there and live that life that you want to live. So I think it is amazing, right, by
Wichita Rick. I think you got the gist of it there, Naomi. Thank you. And Patrick, how about you? Okay, Pam, how about you?
I really like this. I like what Naomi had to say, and I do think it has that tone of living life to the fullest, but also that idea of don't let other people speak for you. Live your life and speak up your own words so that when people have memories of you, it's the memories that you want them to have of you, that the thoughts that were your own and not some preconceived ideas, you know, of other people's thoughts. And I like where he says, mark time as a saint, still pass away with a faint. You know, you can live life as an absolute saint, but is it in the end really going to make a difference? Because, you know, the idea that, you know, the earth, it takes us all. We all die and we all are left with nothing but those, what memories we've left people. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I thought that R.I.P. was a nice touch. Rest in peace or repelled into purgatory. A little twist of thought there, but nicely done. This is really good. Thank you, Rick. And Jean, it's back to you.
Well, I have to say that I think that Rick did a great job with this, and I thought it was nicely expressed throughout. And with that, we only have two carryovers for next week. One was someone who expected it to be carried over, and the other one was Sawa, and she messaged me and said she couldn't make it tonight. So I'll save it for her for next week. And in the meantime, I want to thank you, Rex, for co-hosting with me, Pam, for hanging out with us all night, Naomi, and same to you. It was great to have you both here. Passions, thanks for calling in when you did. Always nice to have another voice in the mix. And I want to thank everyone for all the poetry on the board. It was great. Lots of wonderful writes tonight, and yeah, I liked it. I liked it. Frank, we took note that you were nowhere to be found. I wrote that down on the calendar. So, just in case you thought you got away with it without anybody noticing. But yeah, so anyway, it was a great night, and I want to thank you guys for all sharing it with me. And we'll do it again next week. Good bird blowing in the creek don't rise.
Sure. Good night,
everybody.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Have a good evening,
everybody.